What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Brown Fox Podcast. My name is Matt, and joining alongside me, as always, Big Joe. How are you, man?
Good, man. Not as big as you, though. That's a classic, that one.
We've said that a few times. Hey, I'm not the one pumping iron hard at the gym every night after work. What are we doing here?
I don't know, man. Got to do some other stuff sometimes, but...
Yeah, that's fair. You should come play some golf. And joining alongside us for not actually the first time, he's actually been on the podcast before, but it's been a while. Big Josh, how are you, man?
Big Josh, I'm good. I don't think I'm very big. Nah, I think I'm the little fox.
Mate, you're huge. I'm sure you go to the gym every day as well. Look, I don't know what it is. I'm seeing some similarities here. You guys kind of look alike. I don't know what that might be about or...
Is it the shirt?
Yeah.
Brown fox shirt, you know?
What about the hair?
I think it's the hair.
Yeah, it might be the hair. Yeah.
You see how you get that mistaken.
Because it's black, right? Yeah. It's all in the color.
No, so obviously, if you want to jump back to 2019, episode 3, Josh and Jordan were on the podcast. But Josh, quickly introduce yourself, man. Yeah.
Hey, everyone. My name's Josh. I am the honorary Brown Fox podcast not host, but guest today. Yes, and I'm Joseph's co-host brother.
Yeah, so. You are. No, awesome. Awesome. We'll definitely get into, a more of a bigger introduction of yourself later on. But before we do that, Josh, I'll actually get you to do the honors of pressing a button for our favorite segment. Just this orange button here. It's now time for...
Jazz chat. Jazz chat with Hamish.
A little bit of jazz chat. I do like that segment. / dad jokes. So,
where's the note again?
The...
Was it like a note that...
that's the one.
Was that a mistake or was that like intentional? Was that jazz?
I don't know.
That's it. Okay, you've always got a dad joke? Surely.
To make it up on the spot.
Hopefully I remember it.
You'll figure it out. You'll think of something. So my dad joke today. Look, guys, I wanted to start a new diet. I just feel like I have way too much on my plate right now. I feel like you guys can do.
You're not wrong. You're wrong. You do have some sizable lunches.
Look, I try, but here's the thing. I'm actually trying to do the opposite of that diet. I'm trying to have as much food as I can rather than little.
True.
I'm trying to get huge like you, mate. Hello.
The big, big brown fox.
Yeah.
Yes. Big brown fox podcast. What about you, boys? You got one, Josh?
Yes. Surely. So I play piano, right?
Yep. Just like this song.
Yeah. Just like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I used to play piano by ear.
Yeah, cool.
I play it with my hands now.
But how are you playing this right now?
This is by ear. That's why you don't see my hands moving. This is by ear right now.
Thanks so much, everyone, for watching. We'll see you next week.
Thank you very much, everybody. It's been an
honor. What about you, Joe?
Yeah, look.
He always does this. I don't have one. And he just comes up with the best
one.
But
I didn't, though.
Okay.
And it's like,
I did it.
Yeah, it's like my coffee here, because it's actually, I'm hiding behind it, because it's empty. And my coffee, you know, I think it actually went and filed a police report. Because it got mugged. Although it's really
tough.
Like
it needed
like
that one.
That's the mug.
Needed the actual mug.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So.
Oh, man. All right. Well. Yeah, he always does his, I don't really have one. But then he comes out with like the best one.
It's all about modesty. Pretend like you don't.
That's it.
Hit him with the old.
Thanks guys for, thanks everyone for tuning into another episode today. Once again, episode 19, I think. So we're slowly climbing up the ranks.
We're almost an adult.
Yeah.
Well, technically.
Right? We are. I mean, last episode was... marked us an adult, but once we get to 21, it's officially
right. So we're getting through the rebellious years. Let's go.
That's it. So, before we introduce Josh fully and let him, obviously you're on a podcast back in 2019, but I feel like, we might have some new listeners, but obviously a reminder once again, guys, definitely go check out that episode 3. But before we get into that, how's our week been, guys? Like, what have we been up to? What's been happening?
I've been seeing Matty Weston at Play with Golf, knocking Every shot at Top Golf and in that far corner, and the 300
now.
Points.
Come
every
on now.
Single one, mate.
I wouldn't go that far, but we did go to Top Golf last night with a group of 10, 12 of us, and yeah, it was good fun.
It was a Matty Weston show.
I don't know. There are a few other good players there, like everyone, like you guys and Tim and Josh and you know, but yeah, no, that was a bit of fun. Yeah, what do we get up to after it?
Sunnybank, baby.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. I miss Sunnybank.
Yeah. What time do we get away?
Yeah. Look, I got to sleep pretty early.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Early in the morning.
Yeah. There it is.
Dad joke number two, eh?
Oh.
The segment continues.
That's it. Round two, baby. Yeah. Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
It's nice having Josh up here.
It's nice being here.
Visiting from the Big Smoke.
So let's
the Big Smoke, hey.
Rockhampton.
Yeah, how good. So let's get into that. So obviously for some people, you know, obviously you're Joe's brother from Rocky, but you want to, yeah, just introduce yourself to the listeners, anyone who might not know you at all and you know, what you do with yourself, get up to and what you get up to on your day off. But yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, so for those who don't know me, obviously, like I said, I'm Joseph's brother.
Yeah, you are.
Based in Rockhampton, and assistant pastor, one of the pastors at Lighthouse Baptist Church. So I serve within the creative teams and lead the creative teams, which is anyone that's within our church context, anyone involved with music, with tech, with arts, which is kind of the arts side is graphic design, videos, this sort of thing. So a big portion of what I do is, yeah, creative pastoring. So leading people and leading teams. A lot of other things I do is around music. So me and my sister Gracie have Cloud and Fire. Yeah, so if you want to check us out on Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Cloud and Fire Official. And then, yeah, do some music around town as well. But those are kind of the things I do. The two big rocks in my life, I guess.
Awesome.
Creative pastoring and making music.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Mm. So how long have you been working at the church for?
This would be, oh man, I was talking with some of the people at the church the other day, like I'm coming close on my long service leave, actually. It's crazy to think that.
There you go.
But since 2014, wow. So late 2014 was my graduation year. And in December, I kind of jumped on as an assistant creative. So what's the year now? 2023? Coming up on like essentially my ninth year, if you count 2014 in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so kind of 8 to 9 years in Lighthouse working there and serving. So
cool. Awesome. Awesome. And you also mentioned the Cloud and Fire you have with your sister. So how long you been doing that for?
Yeah, so I've been kind of making music on YouTube and just like doing that sort of thing. Personally, I started in 2018 and then towards the end of 2018, I kind of had a bit of a moment of, I wouldn't say it's an epiphany as much as just as I started making music in 2018, I got Gracie in on things. And I guess the two of us, we love making music. We're family. And it just kind of lined up and our hearts for music, for worship, and to do it together was kind of, it made sense. And I kind of felt God's leading to kind of talk with Gracie about it. And since then, yeah, we've been jumping in it since, yeah, so 2018, the last four-ish years, which is, it's been awesome.
Awesome.
A lot of learning along the way and a lot of good music.
Yeah, that's awesome. So in terms of music, what style or genre music do you guys like enjoy creating?
Well, honestly, like we enjoy creating anything that we enjoy.
Yeah.
But I guess as our first and foremost, like we've written and we do a lot of worship music. So I guess if we were to pick one thing that we kind of focus on is... Yeah, church music, worship music, songs of faith.
Yeah, awesome. Sort of thing. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Just a quick little sidetrack, but not really. Who's your favorite worship band?
My favorite worship band. Ooh. I'd say probably the one that's influenced me the most in recent years is what's his name? Corey Asbury.
Corey Asbury. Yeah, awesome.
So
awesome.
You probably know his song Reckless Love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's it.
Yeah, he's got some good music. I mean, that's like his biggest song.
Yeah.
But all of his music and just watching him on Instagram, he does a lot of just like unreleased music and posts reels of it. And I don't know, I love his tone, his use of vocals. So as a musician, I'm trying to like count like as a musician and then as a worship leader, I think he's someone that I've really just kind of respected and looked to. Yeah, Corey Asbury.
Awesome. What about other, is there any other favorite musicians? Like, who would you say is top three at the moment, just in any
top
sphere?
Top three at the moment. Ooh, that's putting me on the spot. recently, I've been listening to a lot of Queen, actually.
Okay.
A lot of Queen.
That was my number five most listened to in 2020.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of, and I've been talking with different people about it, like a lot of the older music, because I love just the I don't know if you want to call it the science of music and the study of like theory and that sort of thing. And I feel like a lot of great musicianship came from a lot of pre-production era. So bands like Queen have been really interesting to kind of hear their use of instruments and vocal technique and that. So Queen's been a big one. Over the last couple of years, the Beatles have been like a huge, probably my favorite. Yeah.
Hence the hair.
Big reason why. that's not the only reason, but a bit of Lennon vibes going on, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, Beatles, Queen, John Mayer. I'm to think probably like the three that I'm most like influenced by in recent years.
Nice. So good, man.
Nice. What an old soul. Yeah, I wouldn't say Queen's like recently influenced my technique as much as just like I've enjoyed listening to that stuff.
Yeah. That's stuff. Awesome. Mm. What about you, Joe? Who's your top three at the moment?
I have such a limited musical vocabulary at the moment, just with the choice of musicians. Like if I think of listening to something with words, it's probably going to be John Mayer. If it's not like a worship track or something like that, because that's probably mostly, honestly, it's either getting ready for a Sunday service and listening to the set list, or it's lo-fi a podcast. But in terms of music, I guess it would be John Mayer at the moment, still forever.
Speaking of lo-fi, I don't know if there's any like Nintendo fans out there that like played Zelda or Pokemon and stuff, but there's like a really cool lo-fi. Oh, I think I can't remember what it's called. It's like a gaming lo-fi playlist on Spotify. It's so good.
I'll plug the link.
Put it in the show notes. like a lot of Pokemon stuff. I'm like, dude, this is sick. Pokemon, Zelda, all lo-fi. Really cool. Really cool to just jam to.
But I see, I'm terrible. Like literally, that's as far as my current music.
Oh, I'm the same.
Yeah, I've been listening to so much, so it was really hard to think on the spot three top. But
yeah. Ah, that's cool. No, awesome. No, thanks for sharing with us.
No worries.
And yeah, appreciate it. But yeah, what I'd really love to talk about today with you guys is obviously sort of dive deeper with your involvement with what you're doing, like with the church and whatnot, and maybe even touch on all of our experiences with video in that type of sphere and the impact that we've seen on different organizations and, churches and stuff. Cause obviously 3 years ago, the world went crazy, everything shut down and we basically shifted to online. You said something before, you said shift in communication or something like that.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'd love to dive more into that with basically everyone had to shift to, in a church context, it'd be, online church services and Zoom calls. But, even for any other business and company, basically had to shift in that, weren't able to see anyone face-to-face. So kind of had to shift. And, I'd love to, sort of dive into that. But, I don't know, Joe, if you had sort of maybe a direction you wanted to kind of start us off with in terms of a conversation, but I'd really love to dive more into what Josh has maybe seen firsthand with working at the church and then jumping over to online and stuff like that. So
sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. Matt's got the plan. No. The middleman.
That's it.
Did you want me to jump in and just share my thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much going to say the same thing that Matt said. So what's been your experience in utilizing creative, especially video, but just in general, what has your experience been in utilizing creative over the last couple of years in your sphere?
I think, one thing that has kind of been a really big statement that I've thought about and like when you think about creative within the church, in any civilization, in any sort of demographic, whoever has the most influence with music, arts and literature controls the philosophy and the ethos of that community. So I think with that as a framework, the importance of the church from my viewpoint and like the things that the church offers to the community is so important, and using the creative space of arts, literature, and music. When you think about Hollywood, like whatever the songs are saying, whatever the art is, whatever the literature is, dictates the movement of that people. So I think within the church context, it's important as a starting point.
Yeah.
It's important that if you believe in it, and I believe in it, that we get into that space. Within my own experience at the Lighthouse, we didn't have a fully fledged creative team when I first joined. We were doing exceptionally well. Our current lead pastor, Ben Bax, was the previous creative pastor of the church and did a lot of graphic design himself, video, that sort of thing. So I learned a lot from him. And he's a legend.
I'm here doing this today.
Yeah, he's got a big part to play in our journeys. But yeah, over the last 8-9 years, I guess, that I've been at the church, I've seen the power of using video, using creativity, and using storytelling and that sort of thing to impact people. I don't know if that's getting anywhere towards what you were...
What was the initial question again?
Oh, no, I'm just going to keep riffing off what you're saying. So why do you think storytelling has been important? Because, I mean, that's what we do in video land, is try to tell stories. But why would you say storytelling is so important in your context?
I think it comes back to just the power of story. And when you believe in something, you want to be able to communicate that something, right? And I think as a church, where I work, we're a church, we're a faith-based community. If we believe in something, how can we communicate that? I guess we were talking about it before this podcast, like how can we communicate that to people when they're not in the room? And I think as a church, traditionally over time, you've seen so much focus on that one singular Sunday experience, which is once a week, which is 52 times a year. I've heard it said, this is Brady Shearer, if anyone knows who he is, he talks about seizing the 167 hours outside of that hour. So within a church context, if every ounce of energy is only on that Sunday experience, there's another 167 hours outside that we can connect with people. And I think that's where video comes in, where you can tell your story. Any brand, any business, any industry, if you use video, you can tell your story outside of the confines of physical interaction. And so as a church, I guess we've learned to adopt and adapt to the tools that are given to us nowadays. And so communicating to people in that 167 hours outside of the singular Sunday experience, it's important. That's a huge chunk of time. So utilizing video helps us tell stories and connect people to what we believe is a pretty important story, the gospel.
Love what you're saying there about how I've heard you say that multiple times to me as well about the seizing the 167 hours. I think, like you just said, in your context in the church, you're essentially capturing the time where people aren't in the space, or they're not in the experience physically. So what would you say to, not necessarily, it doesn't have to be a church necessarily, but anyone who is doing something, an operation, a business, organization, what would you say to them if they aren't already utilizing creative outside of their immediate physical experiences, or you know what I mean? If they have a showroom, if it's not being in the room with someone, or if it's not having a meeting with someone, what would you say to them about, you know, the lost time?
That's a really good question. I think obviously what you can offer in person is super important, and I think not compromising on that either. So what you do in person and the soft interactions with people, like the soft skills and that sort of thing, super important. But what would I say to someone who's not utilizing it? I'd say, currently we live in the 21st century. Attention is a huge thing. So within a week, it's that concept of 100, seize the 167. When people aren't in your presence, people's attention is somewhere. And Gary Vee talks about this a lot. Like it's the battle for attention. Where are people's attentions? A lot of the time, majority of the time, is on screens. It's on phones. And if you want to connect with someone outside of your the limitations of physical presence, their attention is on their phones, it's on their screens. And if you're not utilizing video, graphic, that sort of thing within screens, you're losing out on a lot of attention. So people's attention are going somewhere. Are you are you utilizing things like social media where their attention is at and trying to capture their attention? So I think it's, I don't know if I answered that succinctly enough, but it is about where are people's attention through the week and can you get in that space?
Yeah. Awesome.
So if you believe in your product, where's their attention? Get in that zone.
That's awesome. That's yeah. So good. No, I love that. And just to touch on something you said earlier, you mentioned about video communicating a message. I mean, we believe, and we've said on the podcast many times, is that video is the best form to be able to communicate a message. Mm-hmm. It's the closest thing. And I was saying to you earlier before we went live, you know, it is the best. Video is the closest thing you can come to real life. And so how can we, if someone has a vision, someone has an idea, you know, writes it all down, writes down a script, how can we best, yeah, obviously capture that. And yeah, I think it was just good, resonate with what you said earlier with video being able to communicate a message. So yeah, no, that was good. Yeah.
No, I love that. So, you know, Matt set the tone at the beginning saying that, you know, in the last 3 years, we've seen a massive shift in communication and clearly the attention has shifted as well. So how did you find, like, what was your journey in your community, in the church there? What was your journey of navigating what happened in the last 3 years and how did you tackle that with modern technology? And tell me a bit about that story.
Yeah, I think, so just like every other industry within the COVID season, everyone just had to kind of reevaluate. We kind of put a pause on many things and the lack of physical interaction kind of, I was kind of talking about it earlier, like physical interaction is one thing and then how can you connect outside of that? And I think it almost forced us, it really did force society as a whole to revisit how can we connect with people when we don't see them in person?
Yeah.
And so I think that being forced upon society within my context, within church context, we couldn't gather on a Sunday. So how can we reach people in their homes became a huge part of that season. So many churches and many faith communities started utilizing, if they weren't already, live streaming. We were already utilizing live streaming, but we revisited even in that season, we had to record a lot. So there was a lot more recording that happened. I remember staying later nights, just like producing a service. Not so much a service, but producing something that people can all log onto at the same time, connect with. So even that actually shaped a lot of the thought, I think, within the church community around what's the purpose of an online experience. And I think a lot of churches figured out that it's not just streaming into something, but trying to build community and connection online as well. So how can we engage people in the online space, not just have them as a fly on the wall observing what's happening? How can we engage them online? So actually within that season, something that we were really intentional about was including the online conversation, not just making it something that people watch, but encouraging engagement, because you ultimately want people to engage. We've been talking about it as a church this year. It's like, how can we get people engaged? And so yeah, within the online space in 2020, I think not only were we forced to create a lot more video, but we were also forced to think about engagement as a big factor. Cause yeah, you can get eyes on something, but if you want a community that's vibrant, that's growing, the community's got to feel engaged.
So you hear in terms of the word engagement when it comes to, say, social media, it's to do with the number of likes, comments, shares. So
yeah.
You're trying to really take what you were saying is you took what used to be engagement in a real context, but you actually had to assess that a little bit online. So how did you kind of measure that? How did you look at the results that were happening from going online? Like, was there anything there?
Yeah, honestly, I don't think many people had it perfectly down. So I'm not going to say that we had a perfect response to COVID happening, but I think in a mindset, we definitely shifted towards that in terms of tracking engagement. I guess we were looking at just like, were people within the online Sunday experience, were people making conversation within the chat? Like, were people actually clicking links? Were people taking next steps? So I think within the online space, it's like, yeah, can we see community fostered there? So we were looking at, yeah, commenting and like responding to things and just chatter within the live streams. Next steps through digital connection cards, because within a church experience on Sunday, like we try to give people next steps. So we have in person, like, connect them to the whoever's in charge of like next steps at the church so that they can take a next step in community and faith. So online, it was like, how do we translate getting next steps from a viewing experience? How do we funnel people towards taking a step? And so it was a matter of having links. And so we didn't have I wouldn't say we had a fantastic way of tracking things, but we were consciously trying to replicate next steps and engagement in the online space. I don't know if that answered anything, to be honest, but.
No, it was awesome. What do you feel, like, do you feel like there was any results, and it doesn't have to be like data and analytics, but do you feel like there was results that came out of that season?
Oh yeah.
Like, what was your learnings?
For sure. I think some of the things we learned were, obviously, the importance of not viewing online as simply a viewership thing, but trying to foster engagement. So I think that was a big learning. Utilizing Zoom and things like that, where you couldn't meet with people. So that's something else. So I've been talking a lot about, I guess, the streaming experience, but we utilized a lot of just Zoom, I think, across every industry, video calls and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Became like a huge part of.
Did you buy Zoom stock?
I did not.
I think we all missed the boat there.
How did it go? Because the shoot up and has a. I haven't seen since. Like, did the bubble ever pop or anything?
I don't know. We managed to find Afterpay before it took off. So.
So still figuring out what to do there.
Hey Google, tell me about the Zoom stock.
I wonder where it's sitting.
No, but I love that. I mean. What I'm really interested in finding out is, like, now post pandemic in a way, and kind of returning to normal life in a way. Obviously, things have changed so much since you started. So what do you feel nowadays? What's the role of creative in, I guess, any organization, but in your organization? What is the role
of
creating videos, the role of creating content?
Yeah. No, that's good. I think... for our team, we can sum it up. We've got like a vision statement for our creative team. So it's like, why do we do what we do? For us, our vision statement is creativity for life change. Like, very simple. Like, creating moments. Sorry, I don't want to ruin that. Creating moments for life change. So when we think about a video that we create, when we think about the online experience, when someone's operating a broadcast camera, when someone's singing, all of these things within our creative team, we're seeking to create moments for life change.
Yeah, love that.
So, what was the initial question again?
Yeah, no, I honestly can't remember, to be honest, what I initially asked. I think it was along the lines of, what's the role? What is now the role of creative in what you do in an in your organization?
Yeah. So I think obviously the vision statement is like the why behind. The role we play is, I guess, within a Sunday experience, we play a huge role of creating what is like the Sunday worship experience.
Yeah.
So our role is to make moments for life change, be that with the songs that we choose in a service, be that with the videos and the moments within a service. So that's why the vision statement has such a huge part to play. Cause if we're simply doing something without a purpose, then we'll make cool videos that just look cool. We'll just pick songs that sound cool. But I think our role is to create those moments. So within a Sunday experience, we're trying to create a moment for life change. We've had some conversations this week around that. Like, what's the clarity of our goal? Are we just making a video again? Are we just pulling songs together? So I think the vision statement is a huge part of empowering our role to be successful. So that's in person. In an online sense, exact same thing. Our role is to create moments for life change. That's our vision statement. And I think everything that we do, if it accomplishes that, then we're fulfilling our role. Essentially, we are in the online space creating a moment within someone's, we talked about attention earlier, when someone's attention is on their phone, we are capturing a moment and bringing what we believe is the good news. We're bringing what we believe is life-changing things into that moment. And even if it is, like, we've got a youth TikTok team right now that's like creating TikToks on the regular. And we were talking about it this week, like, what's your role? What's the purpose? We could just make funny videos and that ticks one box, like that's just creating a moment. But how do we bridge the gap between youth culture? So does it tick the boxes of youth culture, faith, and fun? Mm. And it's like, if we can utilize that moment and step into that moment and bring joy, bring focus back to faith, then we've created a moment for life change. So I think, yeah, our role is to step into those moments, use our creative gifts to present something and like make a moment for life change.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know if that was a very artistic answer.
No, that's great. Because I think awesome. Like what you've hinted at there is something that I've really, and Matt knows that, you know, we really believe that if you have a strong why, then that's probably the time to actually make content, because I feel like it doesn't matter what the brand is, what the organization is, if you're just going to create content just for the sake of making content, it doesn't accomplish much, because people will tell, number one, people will probably notice that there's no goal, there's no purpose, your why isn't strong enough. But number two, there is no number two. Like, to be honest, it kind of comes back to that, because I think, would you say that authenticity in content is important for any business, any organization?
Definitely. And you can pick and like, you can pick at organizations where their goal is profit, where their goal isn't the customer, I guess, like within business. Like if your goal is profit over customer, then you'll compromise on the customer. I think it's pretty straightforward. Like if you don't have the right priority in place, then you'll start compromising on the wrong things.
And I know this is kind of just as all just coming to me as we speak, but like what I've heard, what I'm hearing you say, like kind of my bottom line equation is that if you have a brand, just say a brand for simplicity, that has a strong value and strong vision and mission that involves impact.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing is that content creation is now a non-negotiable.
I reckon. I definitely reckon.
If your why or if your vision involves actually impacting a number of people.
There's just too much attention in the online space for you to neglect it.
So who shouldn't make content today?
Like that's a tough one. It's like, who shouldn't? Like
it's like, because like
no one shouldn't. Like
I've heard this from Alex Hormozy, and we spoke about it. It's like, I've heard this from Alex Hormozy. I'm not going to pretend this is my thought process, but, and he said he took it from Charlie Munger, inversion theory. So that instead of telling people why you should do something, you just educate people on how you can be the opposite. So for example, his video is 28 ways to be poor, to stay poor. Number one, start tomorrow. You know, there's a lot of...
I've done that a lot.
But it's like the inversion theory is that you can tell someone to do something by telling them how to do the negative result.
Yeah.
So who shouldn't make content?
Man. Okay. He's a very like, very, I don't know what the word is, very That's deep right. response.
Yeah.
Who shouldn't make content? People that don't care about what they do. Like if you're in it for the wrong reasons, if you're in it for like personal gain and just like, just to flex yourself, I think like as a general, like ethic and human, like no one likes someone that's just all about themselves. So I think if you're in it for yourself and you're not in it for actually serving and making a difference, then I guess on like, just a maturity and like ethos thing, like, no one likes a puffed up, prideful person. If you're in it for that, I'd say don't. If you don't understand what you're talking about, don't.
You're not wrong.
I think,
not wrong.
Because there's a lot of people who feel like they have a lot to share, and then you hear what they have to share and you're like, you probably shouldn't have shared that because you got no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the experience and if you don't have the actual... If you're not self-aware of your gifts and you think you know a lot, probably don't make the content. But I do like what Gary Vee talks about. If you are learning and stepping through something for the first time, documenting is the way to go.
Yeah, cool.
Don't create content where you're the authority on it when you are still learning. So I think that's actually an important thing, is like if you can document it, then by all means go for it. Who else shouldn't?
Yeah.
I don't. Those are some of the types of people I think who should.
I think the translatable principle out of that for, I guess, our context when we're speaking with brands and businesses, I mean, the bottom line, a business exists because they have to make a profit. So by default, a business has to grow or at least have some semblance of trying to have some growth trajectory. Otherwise, in the words of Matt, what are we doing here? So, so I think combining those thoughts in my head, I kind of come to my own conclusion now that, you know, if you have a strong purpose and you have a goal to grow and you have a goal of impacting people, then content is now a non-negotiable because that's where the attention is at. And if you're not capturing their attention, someone else is capturing their attention.
Yeah.
So do you feel like the online world is oversaturated?
Definitely is oversaturated. Does that mean we shouldn't try? I don't think so.
Okay.
Just because something's saturated doesn't mean you don't get yourself in that space.
And something, that's amazing because I think we talked about this, I think it was two episodes ago when we talked about the rise of short form video is what the title was. And we actually talked about, Joe posed the question, he's like, well, social media platforms there's a lot of content. Should I be adding to the noise? But the point you made is like, well, if you have something of value to share, well, it's not necessarily adding to the noise, you know what I mean? It's not noise, you know, it's, if you have something value to share, then it's valuable. Like
even along that train of thought, like sometimes I'm watching on YouTube and I'll search something and I'll find a video from someone who, like, I guess you'd think like low subscriber count, that sort of thing. And then, and they're just, maybe some people might think they're just adding to the noise or something. And then I look at them and then I think about my circles of friends and like, no one would think to search for this guy or listen to this person, but someone's going to have value added to them from your content. So if it's value adding content, if you're genuine about it and all that, I'd say like it's going to help someone.
Yeah.
And there've been many smaller channels and insignificant, if you want to talk about like in terms of size, that I've seen their content and it's like, without your piece of content, I wouldn't have known that. So I don't think it's ever without any value, like put it out there, because someone's going to.
For sure. Something I wanted to quickly say was, like for us, it's like, even if it was one single person a few years down the track that we were able to help, or we were able to add, you know, value, if they listened to this podcast, like that's a win for us, you know, even if it was just one person, you know.
Yeah.
And the fact is, you know, at least we're putting ourselves out there and stuff. And another thing I wanted to quickly say was like, everyone, all the biggest channels on YouTube, like Mr. Beast, all these guys, they all started somewhere. They all started with zero subscribers, you know? But yeah.
Love it.
Like, I think in our context, so I want to kind of, yeah, I love this thought. So this on this line of thought, a lot of the people we come across in our small to medium business world, they're, you know, people who are potentially doing well in their sphere. They've probably built what they've done out of a lot of word of mouth, good execution and delivery, and just a track record of, you know, just doing good work, right? Now, a lot of these people might be a bit older or a bit, you know, less native to the digital environment. And so they might agree with some of this and they go, yeah, I actually feel like I do have value to share now, but they might be scared. So in your context, you know, I know you've had interviews with all sorts of people within the church to bring their stories out. They may not be digital natives, but you've gotten them in front of cameras. Like, how would you encourage someone who is not a digital native to view being in front of a camera and to, you know, what would you tell them?
I'd tell them what we're talking about right now. Like, I'd encourage them of the value of it. I guess if you don't understand, as with anything else, it really is just a matter of reaching out to someone who does and just getting, you talk about it all the time. If you don't know how something works, find someone who's a few steps ahead of you that knows how it works.
Yeah.
And I guess the underlying concept is there. I got value to bring. I should make the content. I don't know how. I'm going to look for someone. So I would just encourage probably just the basic act of, yeah, just like if you see someone that knows what they're doing, reach out to Maddie, reach out to Joe from Brown Fox, like reach out to someone who knows and then they can kind of give you some starting points.
Yeah. I love that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I love
it's
that.
Very base, like I guess it's a very basic answer, but I think that really probably is like the starting point is just finding someone that knows.
Absolutely. What and I think we're up to the point, I think Matt and I talk a bit about it, but we're kind of up to the point where if today we can't, like we can't, I don't want to try and convince people about video because it's kind of to the point where if you just don't get, if you don't, you know, be careful with my language, if you don't get it or you don't care to get it, I don't know what else to say because it's where, it's what's happening. So
yeah.
I think where I'm trying to help, what I'm, you know, what I'm really hoping to achieve over the next couple of years is to at least give people who might be nervous about getting on camera, they know they have to do it, is to give them a little bit of hope into, you know, I can do it. I can give it a shot.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I think we want to.
Yeah. And as with anything like camera, being camera shy and that sort of thing, like repetition, I guess like with anything, repetition makes things, you make more sense of it. The next time is always going to be a little bit better. You may get a little bit, you may struggle with one, but then you're always learning. So I think repetition with that sort of thing, you'll always get better the more you do something.
Awesome.
That's so good.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind asking, well, for me anyway, one more question. Yeah. And then Matt, I'm sure you've got something else up your sleeve.
To be honest, you've actually, you've driven.
I'm sure
I don't really know if I have anything else. Like we've kind of covered everything.
I'm sure you've got a couple of big guns on your sleeve there. But
keep it down, man.
Are there stories that you can share about how, say, creative has actually impacted the creative you've made or you've been in charge of the team making has actually had impact?
Yeah.
Anything you can share
with me? Oh, yeah, definitely. Even just recently, so just this past last month, we had our Vision Sunday, which is kind of a chance for us as a church community to present to our church what we believe is God's vision for us and make sense of like where we're heading forward. So our church's vision statement is to be a church that welcomes all home and equips people to navigate life. So as Ben, our lead pastor, presented to us this year for Vision Sunday, we're just going to hone in on that vision statement. Us as a creative team, we were able to sit down and think about that statement. That specific statement, navigating life, was kind of where Ben wanted us to focus in on. So heading into Vision Sunday, a lot of prayer and preparation was put into how can we tell this story and create a moment where people are engaged. They're, it's thought-provoking and leads them into that vision.
Love it.
So we landed on a concept of still haven't found what I'm looking for. U2 song. That's I don't know if you song, guys. Yeah. guys. And so that concept of I haven't found what I'm looking for and navigating life. And so everything that we were thinking and planning and praying over was we want to tell that story. We want to relate to the person and give them an answer. So we landed on a music video, which was a half song of Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. The lyrics talk about I've climbed highest mountain, I've run through the fields, I've scaled city walls, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for. So it's all themes around trying to, like you're searching and navigating life and you can't find it. So we presented the tension, the problem. And then after that video, we went into a live item of a song called Captain by Hillsong. And that song was essentially the answer to the problem. So we presented the problem and then Captain being all about the themes of navigating life seas and Jesus being the captain. So we had this creative moment with video, with song. We presented it on Sunday and then that led into the message which Ben presented, which was all about navigating life and navigating and trying to finding what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So it was pretty exciting to see the video, the song and the message and the entire like morning, the entire Sunday experience all fall in line and us as a creative team be able to bolster that. And at the end of the service, it was pretty cool. Like this is a pretty cool story is someone had been reaching out to one of our church members, someone in the Sunny Coast actually, and was like, I want to know more about this faith stuff. I'm struggling with things. I personally don't know their whole story, but they were looking for something. And then that church member sent them our live stream link for the Sunday morning.
Yeah, cool.
as they were listening in, they were at the gym, the video, the song and the message all kind of had its all worked together and kind of kept pushing that idea of I haven't found what I'm looking for. And that person in the gym listening to the live stream was battling those same thoughts and don't know what I'm looking for, all of the same thing. And he actually accepted Christ. So as a Christian, as a faith community, like we want to see people come to accept Christ. And so for him to have watched that, have expressed back to the person that sent them the live stream, man, you sent me this link and I was actually, I just haven't been able to find what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's so cool, man.
And listening to the service this morning, that same statement just kept coming up. And I'm feeling that. And I believe this is the answer for me and I'm going to make that step this morning. So it was pretty exciting to see like the video music and having like a common vision and using the creative arts and everything all kind of tying together. In our sense, I guess within a business context, like you're looking at trying to return profit, that's one of the goals within a non-for-profit church sense. Like it really is bringing people to Christ. And so to see that goal ticked because of creativity having its part to play, and obviously it's all through we believe it's through God kind of leading us, I think that was a pretty cool recent example that someone tuning in on a live stream, like someone had to operate a broadcast camera,
yeah,
someone had to be switching the live stream, someone had to set it all up. And we always tell our CT, our tech teams, what you do matters, because someone's on the other end of that live stream that may need that moment this morning of life change. And so to see like all the language around, we're all creating this moment for life change, the creative arts team, the CT team, the worship team, all of them serving this one vision, using storytelling to put forward a story, and then seeing a net result at the end. It's a pretty awesome story to look back at.
It's amazing.
Regardless of how a viewer interprets that, regardless of, I guess, their own faith background, I guess on principle, like what you've explained just then is like the epitome of the hero's journey and the epitome of storytelling with a purpose for a cause. Like,
yeah,
you got someone who had a need,
mm,
and you have a solution.
Yeah.
And you manage to utilize the entire process of creativity and the tools at hand, the technology to craft an emotional and logical story through the music, through the video, through the message, tension of emotion and logic. Let them see themselves as the person needing the solution.
Yeah.
You brought in the guide. It connected through the medium of video online and you impacted someone.
Mm. It's problem solving within our context.
And it's that there to me is like, it's the epitome of, it's obviously what you do. And I personally value what you do on a personal level.
Thanks, bro.
But also just showing you and showing the possibilities of what can happen within when you can, use the tools at hand.
Yeah. Any industry, like if someone's got a problem and you've got a solution, do your best to bring the best possible solution. Mm. And I guess that's where like video and creativity can come in and help bolster that.
What do you reckon, Matt?
I got nothing. That was amazing. No, that was really good.
Have you found what you're looking for?
Still at the
thing. Oh, can you also sing us a song to close off?
No guitar. Sorry.
You should have brought it in. Yeah. Thank you so much, Josh, for sharing all that.
Thanks for having me on the podcast.
That was amazing. Guys. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on and making the trip down just for the podcast.
Yeah. No. Just for the podcast.
Yeah. Don't worry about Top Golf. Don't worry about anything else. It was just for the podcast. No, thanks so much for coming on, man.
No worries. Absolute honor.
You guys are all awesome. Good. And thanks as well, Joe, for coming on. Fox. Once again, yeah,
the big
fox. Hello. Oh,
okay, I'm the honorary little fox today.
Hey, man.
Where'd the actual fox go? Did we have the fox?
Oh no.
Did we ever make the reveal, or is this a late reveal?
Sorry, there's actually someone else who's joining us today. His name is Foxy, is it? Oh, the quick.
Pick the brown fox.
Yes. Quick the brown fox. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah. I forgot to bring him out earlier.
So what do you have to say, Quick?
Sure.
Yeah, sick. Awesome.
I think people are asking, what does the fox say?
Oh.
They want to know.
Thanks, guys. This is good.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Really, really appreciate it. Just called you guys everyone. That's all good. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to today's podcast. Really hope you enjoyed it. Gained lots of value from it. And thanks once again, Josh, for coming on. And I'm sure this definitely won't be the last time you'll be on a podcast. Hey, maybe we could go up to Rocky one time and do a podcast up there.
I like the idea of that. Yeah, yeah. I like the idea of that.
Come on now. Come on.
Brand Fox, ex-Rocky.
Yeah, before we end, do you guys want to quickly give a plug to another sneaky podcast that you might have going? Which...
Matt's going to cut this out. No. There's one called Isolation Nation.
Oh, no!
That Matt...
Isolation
podcast. Started
wrong podcast.
In 2020.
Oh, for real?
Wrong podcast.
He's going to cut this out of the podcast.
Yeah, I probably will.
I'm going to give it a look now.
I'll leave it in, but what I will say is it's called the Super Bob Bros, and they haven't actually put out an episode for a while.
So shout them out.
Come on, guys.
What are you doing here?
Got to get around it, mate. No, all good. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching, listening. Really hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you soon for the next episode. And with that... Fox is out.
Fox is out.
Thanks, guys.
Woof.